Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Listen with Other, because grown-ups need story time too. The Mind Children by Giles Booth. Episode 5, The Short-Trousered Racketeer. If anyone at Compton Magna C of E Primary School had done a study into absences, they would have noticed that more children were sick on a Monday than any other day of the week. They might have put it down to parents taking a long weekend away, or just a dread of Monday morning. They would have been wrong, however. They would have missed the real reason. A scruffy 10-year-old boy in short trousers, several sizes too small for him.
"I can't, Stevie, not again," said Mike. "I've got no pocket money left and I can't go without my dinner again. We don't eat supper until 7 and I'm always starving."
"Why can't you eat your tea at 5 o'clock like normal people? You too posh or summat?" asked Stevie.
"It's just what my mum's always done."
Stevie looked around the playground as they waited for the bell to ring.
"If you can't give me your dinner money, you'll have to find someone who can. Go and get Andrew's money off him. He's over there on his own."
"You leave him alone."
"What did you say?"
Mike was surprised by his own bravery, standing up to Stevie, at least a little bit.
"Look at him. Tiny, poor kid. He looks sick. Play fair, Stevie. Don't pick on him."
"Pick on someone my own size, then. OK, how about Simon over there? He's scared of his own shadow."
Mike watched as Stevie walked over to Simon, whispered something in his ear that made him turn pale with fear. Simon handed his dinner money to Stevie.
"See, easy peasy. Next week I want to see you do it, or..."
"Or what?"
"Never you mind. You'll be sorry."
Loitering in a corner of the playground, the Mind Children were picking up the brainwave patterns of fear, anxiety and injustice. They knew they had to help, but the child they decided to help was not Simon, nor even poor little Andrew. They decided to help Stevie.
Welcome to Tea Time TV Retro Machine. What's on the pod this week, Dave?
Well, we've now both read the next story in the second unpublished Mind Children book, Typescript, what would have been episode 5, The Short-Trousered Racketeer. You heard an extract at the top of the show. What do you make of this one, Dave?
I like this one. Maybe it's a bit of a filler, but I like the twist. You expect the Mind Children to go all in on tackling the school bully, Stevie, but they take his side.
Yeah, I like the unexpected aspect of that. Shall we explain what happens?
Yeah.
So it turns out Stevie is himself being bullied, not by another boy, but by his dad.
Stevie's dad is trouble. He's living apart from Stevie's mum. There's a strong hint they're not married.
That's right. Stevie's dad is squatting in a cottage near the pub.
Village pub gets a name in this manuscript. The Seven Magpies. Do you think that's significant?
The name, you mean, or that he didn't name it before?
Well, both, I guess, but the name, yeah.
How does the rhyme go again?
1 for sorrow, 2 for joy, 3 for a girl, 4 for a boy.
5 for silver, 6 for gold, was it?
Yep.
And 7?
I've no idea.
7 for a secret never told.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be significant.
Right.
Anyway, back to Stevie's dad. He's broken into this holiday cottage and squatting in it. The owners live in London and have a terrible time getting anyone to do anything about it. For one thing, the whole village, policemen included, are all terrified of him. He's packing heat. I'll translate that for our more sensitive listeners. Stevie's dad has a shotgun, unlicensed, and he's barred from the pub for starting fights, which is inconvenient because he likes his booze, birds and booze. Yeah, strong hints are dropped that some of the married women in the village rather like Stevie's dad. He's described as looking like David Essex, with a bad boy reputation. It's all going on behind the lace curtains in Compton Magna, and in a tea time kids TV show to boot. Mary Whitehouse would have been up in arms if this had ever been shown. She would. She really would. Tired of pizza, again? Fed up of what should we have for dinner conversations? Flange Chef's agentic AI delivers the ingredients you need for the meal you want before you even know it. Use code MINDCHILDREN79 for 10% off your first order. Minimum 48-month contract. See flangechef.ai for terms and conditions. Cancellation fee applies. Well, thank goodness that's over. Steady now, Bob. No being rude about our sponsors. They keep the wolf from the door. Well, the dog from the door. Oh, maybe the hamster. Steady now, Dave. Yeah, anyway, any luck with that cipher from last week? You'll remember, listeners, we had a letter written in code found in the attic, along with a videotape, which we still can't play. Oh, I had a lead, but it turned out the guy had a Betacam SP machine. No use at all. So again, let's put the call out. Anyone with a late 1970s U-matic machine, please, please get in touch. We could be sitting on TV history here, a world first. Yeah, but how are you getting on with that cipher? Well, Dave, I have an idea. Let's try something in real time. Remember last week we pretty much ruled out the letter being written in a simple Caesar cipher, and I said maybe it was a more complex cipher that needed a keyword. And have you got the key? I have a few ideas to try, but more importantly, I think I know what kind of cipher the letter might be written in. Oh, do tell. All way over my head, of course. Well, at first, I thought it might be a Vigenère cipher. What on earth is that? It's like a Caesar cipher, but with an added keyword that keeps shifting the number of letters you change each letter by. Anyway, I've been spending way too much time this week putting the text of the letter in various online Vigenère cipher tools with different keys, and nothing. It's all gibberish. So you haven't got the right keyword yet. Maybe, or maybe I haven't got the right kind of cipher until now. What's changed? The story in episode 5 that we heard at the top of the show. Remember when Stevie and Mike are arguing over extorting money out of poor little Andrew? Yeah. Mike says to Stevie to play fair. Yeah, so? Well, play fair is a kind of cipher. Oh, yeah, that phrase is a little odd there. It does stick out a bit. Exactly. Shall we try it then? Hell yes. Right, I've got an online Playfair cipher decoder here. So I'm going to start typing the start of the cipher text. LUDQCMSYFQGA. What's the key? I've got a list here. Mind children first, of course. Looks like gibberish. Well, I'll try some more. The mind children. Nope. Mind. Nope. Children. Nope. I'll try his real name. Nope. And so, dear listeners, Bob typed in about 100 different possible keywords, none of which worked. I've got sore fingers now. Wrong kind of cipher again? No, I'm convinced Playfair is a clue. Did you try Playfair? I did now. No, that's not it. I think we still just need the right key. Maybe it's in the final story. Maybe. It kind of makes sense, I guess. Time for another story extract? I reckon. Might fall asleep, mind. Stevie was always terrified of going to see his dad, and this week, even more so. He only had 50 pence to give him.
Loads of the kids had been off school on Monday. When he asked them on Tuesday, they said their parents had brought their dinner money in or paid for a term by cheque in the school office. He was even more scared of not going to see his dad, though. On his way home from school, he timidly walked up the short path to Rose Cottage behind the pub. A solitary magpie swooped down in front of him. One for sorrow, he thought. He'd learnt the rhyme off a TV show before his dad had sold the telly to pay for beer. Just my luck, he thought. Then suddenly the magpie's mate appeared and the two birds stared at him. Two for joy. The door was unlocked and music was playing from a transistor radio. A DJ babbled.
Coming up to fantastic 4 o'clock. Don't forget to stay tuned for our 4 o'clock foursome. Four tunes back to back, which is even more fantastic because I can leg it down to the hat and stick and have a swift half. Only kidding, of course. I'll be down at the canteen getting some fine BBC tea in. Brenda from Walsall requested this one, and it's the smasher, a real disco inferno.
Stevie's dad was asleep on the sofa, surrounded by crushed empty beer cans and overflowing ashtrays. Dad? He woke suddenly. What do you want? I got your money, only it's not much this week. He timidly handed over a 50 pence piece. It was one of the 1973 ones with the European leaders' hands all joined. You could tell which one was the Queen because it was slender and delicate.
50 pence? 50 bloody pence? That's no use to me.
He threw the coin back in Stevie's face, hitting him. His lip trembled as he started to cry.
You're no son of mine. I've often thought it. Now I know.
Unknown to Stevie's dad, the Mind children were listening from the kitchen at the back. They started nodding their heads in unison, their eyes flashing blue and green. Stevie's dad slumped back on the sofa. Small wisps of smoke began to rise from a cushion. In less than a minute, the sofa was ablaze.
Dad! Yelled Stevie.
His dad did not move. Thick, acrid smoke was now filling the room, making Stevie cough, but still his dad did not move at all.
Dad!
The Mind children focused on Stevie's mind as they walked out of the back door and climbed over the wall. Get out of the front door and run home, they said. Your father was drunk and fell asleep while smoking. Those sofas are very flammable. A tragic but all too common accident. The radio was still playing. Disco Inferno. Stevie did not understand what was happening, but he did as he was told. As he ran down the path, he could see flames licking at the window.
Wow, didn't see that coming. Neither did Stevie's dad.
It was so bleak for a kid's show.
And notice how again they take the side of children against adults. Not only does Stevie's dad, well, get killed, we assume, but the London couple who own the cottage get their holiday home burnt to the ground.
Serves them right.
Mrs. Aston and I were thinking of buying a holiday home.
Not round my way, I hope. No offence.
I'm not really a Londoner.
How long have you lived in London, Dave?
Oh, I don't know, 20 years? A bit more? Came for work. You want to sell up in London and move down here? Fine, but second homes are killing our village.
That was a party political broadcast on behalf of the Bob Chandler Devon Liberation Front.
Don't go getting ideas now, Bob.
I won't. I'll stick to slashing the tyres of Teslas with London number plates.
Bob is joking, of course. That's what you think. That was part 5 of The Mind Children, written, read and mixed by Giles Booth, with original music by Lee Sperry. If you're enjoying the story, please add a review on Apple Podcasts or drop me a line. I'm Blog My Wiki on Blue Sky and Mastodon. Join me next time when Dave finally finds someone to play the videotape, Bob finds a key, and summer is a-coming in. That's in the final exciting instalment of The Mind Children. Listen With Other is a GSB Radio Enterprises production.